does this revival is all about? We have the explanation in the verses in some narrations as well. For example, إذا قام القائم دعا الناس إلى الإسلام جديدا. When Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will come after his reappearance, again he will invite the people toward the religion of Islam. So the religion is the same.
Yes.
But he will invite them toward the religion of Islam. Why? Because هداهم إلى أمر قد دثر. He is inviting the people, he will guide the people towards some Islamic teachings that are forgotten. وَضَلَّ عَنْهُ الْجُمْهُورِ People are away from those teachings. And that is why he is called Mahdi. وَإِنَّمَا سُمِّيَ الْقَائِمُ مَهْدِيًا He is called Mahdi. You know that Mahdi is means the guided one. لَأَنَّهُ يُهْدَى إِلَىٰ أَمْرٍ مَضْلُولٍ عَنْ Because he has already guided himself towards something that people are away from. And then he will invite the people toward this.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to englishradio@irib.ir. Praises to Allah, all glories to Allah,
we worship Allah and no one but Allah. So the point is that...
Is it the guide or the guided one?
Both.
Both.
So okay. First of all, he is guided himself, yes. Mahdi, yes. He is guided himself, then he is going to guide the people.
That's right. Okay.
Now, having said that, there are... a couple of points through which we can understand this narration referring to the fact that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will somehow revive the religion of Islam. The first point is that we believe that some of the Islamic laws especially have not been mentioned by the Imam of the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam because they did not have the chance to explain all the Islamic laws. And then at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and his reappearance, he will refer to all the Islamic laws with all the details that are there in Islamic Sharia.
Okay.
Second of all, some of the Islamic laws were mentioned by the Imams of the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam, but the books, are not in within our access anymore. We know that so many books written by Shia scholars have been... for example, set into fire by the enemies, and we do not have access to them. So again, some of the Islamic laws mentioned by the Imam of the Ahl Bayt, the problem is that we do not have access to them, so Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will explain them. The third point is that when it comes to the time of the major occultation, we know that the fuqaha, the jurists, they refer to verses of the Quran and the narrations and the intellect, all the available sources to give their fatwas. And we see that there are differences among them about some of the details of fiqh or jurisprudence.
Yes.
So they are acting upon the sources that they have access to. Mm-hmm. And although... we need to follow the fuqaha, but it doesn't mean that what is mentioned by all the fuqaha, it is the true Islamic law here, because at the end of the day, they do not have access to all the narrations, and there is no other way out. We are told, we are asked by Imam Mahdi alayhi salam that during the major occultation, we need to refer to the scholars. But at the end of the day, still, their fatwa are based on their understanding, which in some cases might not be true. But when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam comes, he will tell the people all the true Islamic laws about the details. That is why some people might think that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is bringing some of the new Islamic laws.
Yes.
The other point is that during the history of Islam, some of the Islamic laws for some reasons they have not been acted upon,
yes.
although they
have
were
been
issued.
Forgotten, neglected, that's
yeah.
right.
So they were issued by fuqaha, but for any reason, people have not been able to act upon them. But at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, there is, a chance. We have the opportunity. There is no obstacle. So all the Islamic laws are going to be acted upon. And the other point that I would like to share is that nowadays we see that there are many differences among the Muslims. So when it comes to, for example, Kalam or theology, first of all, we have Shia, Sunni.
Mm-hmm.
Among the Sunnis, for example, we have Ash'aris, Maturidis, Mu'tazilis, New Ash'aris, New Mu'tazilis, Ahlul Hadith. And among the Shia, we have Mutakallimin, the theologians, we have philosophers, we have Muhaddith Mutakallim, Mutakallim Muhaddith. And each and every group, they have differences of ideas when it comes to the details. I'm not talking about the fundamental beliefs. When it comes to, for example, free will, you see that there are many different viewpoints amongst Muslim scholars, Shia, Sunni, Maturidi, and all the subdivisions as well.
Yes.
Let's talk about jurisprudence.
Yes.
Our Sunni brothers, they follow four schools of thought. The Shia also, they have, we have different mujtahids and maraja. And again, among the Shia, we have different groups of Shia. We have Ismailis, we have Zaydis, we have Twelvers. So my point is that each and every group of Muslims, in terms of theology, jurisprudence, and many other issues, they have differences of ideas, and each group refer to the verses of the Quran and the narrations. So the question is that, so which one is telling the truth? I mean, when it comes to free will, is Ash'ari telling the truth, or the Mu'tazila, or the Maturidi, or the Twelver Shia, or Ismailis, or Zaydis, and so on and so forth. When it comes to jurisprudence, is it true? Is Hanbalis telling the truth, or Hanafis, or
yes.
Twelver Shia, and so on and so
okay.
forth? So my point is that among Muslims, we have all these differences.
Yes.
And as Shia, we believe that the true path is the Twelver Shia. The Zaydis also do not follow the true path.
Yes.
Ismailis as well. So that is why when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam comes, we have only the true Islamic version in all its aspects, be it theology, kalam or fiqh or whatever. So it's very normal that when he reappears, the majority of the Muslims, they see that what Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is telling might be different from their beliefs in theology or in jurisprudence. So as Twelvers, we believe that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will tell the people that only Twelver Shia is the true path. So the majority of the Muslims who are not following the Twelver Shia'is, they would think that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam has brought something new, because already they have been following, for example, Sunni school of thought,
yes.
or in fiqh. So my point is that when we take into account all these differences among the Muslims in theology, in jurisprudence, and so on and so forth, when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam comes, he will tell the people the truth, which is only one of them. And that is why, through the eyes of the majority of the Muslims, his understanding of the religion of Islam might be new.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding Imam al-Mahdi. Whether by his reappearance, may Allah, of course, hasten his reappearance, a new religion or a new type of Islamic teaching will be on the scene or not. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information or to send your question to us, please visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن الآن كل من كان محباً لهم كل من كان محباً لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
يوسف جلالي بتهران
روباشافت غازا
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
As the Israeli regime's onslaught on Gaza continues, protests in the Lebanese capital Beirut have not diminished. Words of solidarity and chants are the only weapon people here have to express their anger. But Beirut is not only condemning Israeli crimes, but also remembering those killed in the Israeli targeting of civilians. Abdulrahman al-Hassani, also known as Abid, Palestinian living and working in Lebanon, lost 10 members of his family in one night as a result of the Israeli shelling.
This blood that has been shed is a gift to every free person in the world so we can all live with dignity. No matter how far this enemy goes with its killing, we must live freely and honorably and take the path which has been lit for us by the martyrs. This blood of the children, women, elderly and youth is the most precious thing we have to give in order to see Palestine, which yearns for life and freedom without an oppressive occupier.
His friends who were heartbroken and came to give their condolences were stunned with how he greeted them with a smile on his face.
As you can see, the smile doesn't leave his face. He's happy for his family because they believe this is what they've been raised to do until they achieve liberation. But at the same time, this should expose what the barbaric actions of the Israelis happening in Gaza. We believe that we are all in this together.
Actually, no words are enough to deliver what we feel toward the massacre that happens, and also towards the smile that Abdulrahman is really expressing. All his family members are martyrs, and this is such a big thing. But it is so normal for the Gaza people, for the Palestinian people, who are day after day standing, resisting this criminal, Israel.
They know that this is the price that they have paid, that they have to pay for liberation of their land. And he just lost 10 members of his family, including his sister. I mean, he had this very beautiful relationship with his sister, and she has a beautiful daughter. She's 2 years old. Her name is Ward, and he just lost her. And it's been a long time since he last saw them.
But you can see a lot of resilience. You can still see a lot of patience. God has given him so much patience. I have no idea how he's been able to go through all of that.
In addition to his uncle and brother, who were leaders in the Palestinian resistance, at least 5 children were killed during this massacre, which is one of the many taking place in Gaza amid international silence. Abed's family is one of many in Gaza that are willing to give their lives for the sake of their homeland. While the Israeli atrocities have led to global condemnation on the barbaric nature of the regime's practices, yet Palestinian people believe that their sacrifices is a necessary step on the path to liberation. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
The Turkish president has called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza while announcing the cancellation of a planned visit to Israel. Erdogan said his problem was not with the Israeli people, but with Netanyahu's cabinet and its inhumane war against Palestinians in Gaza. The Turkish president also considered Hamas a group of fighters defending their land, rejecting the term terrorist that Israel and the Western officials often use in reference to the Palestinian resistance movement.
We had a project to go to Israel, but it was cancelled. We will not go. Israel has taken advantage of Turkey's good intentions. I urge for an immediate ceasefire. Hamas is not a terrorist group, but a group of liberators and mujahideen fighting to protect their homeland and their citizens.
The Turkish president said the international community should learn a lesson from previous failed peace negotiations between the two sides. Erdogan assured that Turkey can be a mediator on a new round of talks, while also insisting on the importance of Palestinian unity to make it work. He added that he was saddened by the United Nations Assembly's inability to reach a resolution for a ceasefire. Meanwhile, the Turkish people continue to hold protests across the country, condemning the Israeli aggressions in Gaza. People in major cities have been calling on their government to intervene in order to end the siege on the Gaza Strip and stop the killing of innocent civilians. More than 6,000 Palestinians have been killed and around 18,000 others injured since the start of the Israeli war in the Gaza Strip. Over 50% of the buildings in the blockaded strip are also destroyed. This, the result of only 3 weeks of Israel's relentless bombardment of the besieged territory. Meanwhile, the world leaders are either apt to support the regime's atrocities or remain silent. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Ambassadors of Arab and Islamic countries to Russia expressed their support for Palestinians, condemning the brutal Israeli aggression on the Gaza Strip. They slammed the ethnic cleansing carried out by Israel against Palestinians with the support of the United States. Iran's ambassador to Moscow, Kazem Jalali, emphasized that the genocide of the Palestinian people is a tragedy for all humanity. He also described Israel's crimes against the Palestinians as disgusting and shameful.
For the past 75 years, the Israeli regime has been killing, imprisoning Palestinians and exterminating people. Imam Khomeini said that the Israeli regime was not the regime that wanted to move towards peace from the very beginning. As long as Israel exists, the region will not see peace. The U.S. condones its crimes. 45 resolutions were vetoed by the United States in the UN and Security Council, preventing the voice of the Palestinian people from being heard.
The tragedy of both Arabs and Muslims began with the Balfour Declaration in 1917. Since then, they have been confronting not only Israel, but also everyone who sponsors, supports, and justifies the crimes of this regime.
There is not enough reason for Israel and for the international community and for European and for American to stand against with Israel against Palestinian. In Gaza, we are living more than 2.5 million Palestinian civilian. You know, and I mean, from the day one, they closed water, electricity, fuel. Anything.
Lebanon position is very clear. We don't want war. We don't want any provocation, but at the same time, we are ready to defend our land. We are ready to defend our dignity. We are ready to defend our people. And Israel has to stop its aggression on Lebanon, on Palestine, and on Syria. A small group of Hamas who have proved that small group of people who have the belief in their cause and who are insisted to go back to their own land and to regain their own right, they can do, a heroic things as they did.
We protest against the genocide committed by the Israeli occupiers in Palestine in general and in the Gaza Strip in particular. As Palestinians abroad, we still believe this is the end of Israel. What happened on October 7th is direct evidence of Israel's shame and disgrace. It is obvious that they cannot resist the Palestinian people. Israel's furious revenge in the form of bombs and missiles on our land and peaceful people is the revenge of despair. We cannot stop at written and verbal condemnations of the Israeli genocide. How many more Palestinian children must die for the whole world to come to their defense? Does this mean that what is happening in Ukraine is a war according to international rules and the direct Extermination of Palestinians is the defense of Israel.
The participants in the event stressed that despite all the lies about the Palestinian people that the Israeli regime and the United States have spread, the issue of Palestine remains a central and righteous cause. To this day, the United Nations confirms in all its documents that the Palestinian territories are occupied and has adopted several resolutions in favor of Palestinians.
Ordinary people around the world are heartbroken over relentless Israeli bombings of the Gaza Strip that have left thousands of Palestinians dead and thousands more wounded so far. Moscovites continue to shower flowers to mourn the Palestinian victims. Marina Kartunova, Moscow.
Palestinians mourned the death of Omar Daragmi, a senior Hamas member who had recently been arrested in the occupied West Bank, while Israeli prison authorities insist that his Monday death was a normal death. Palestinians in the occupied West Bank insist that Israel's intensified crackdown on prisoners led to the murder of Daragmi. Here, outside the building of the International Committee of the Red Cross in Ramallah, Palestinians gathered to mourn the death of Daragmi. The Commission of Prisoners Affairs told Press TV that according to Daragmi's lawyer, hours before his death, Daragmi had appeared before a court hearing and seemed to be in good health.
Martyr Omar Daragmi was murdered due to attacks he suffered because only hours earlier he was in good condition. The lawyer of Omar Daragmi said he spoke to him via video conference and was told he was doing fine. A few hours later, he was declared dead. We know the prisoners reject to be taken to court hearings under the current situation because they are being beaten and assaulted following the hearing. We believe this happened with Omar. He faced a brutal assault leading to his martyrdom.
Hamas movement has also accused Israel of killing Daragmi, one of its senior leaders in the occupied West Bank. In a press release, the movement held Israel responsible for his death, describing it as an assassination. An Israeli statement claimed his death was due to a heart attack. He was arrested on October 9 and placed under administrative detention. Since October 7, overnight arrest rates into Palestinian cities have escalated. Prisoner advocacy groups say Israeli forces have arrested over 1,300 Palestinians since October 7. They say these prisoners suffer from severe mistreatment and are in dire conditions.
It's part of the war being carried out against our people in the West Bank. It's part of the reprisals. Israeli forces arrest hundreds of people and keep them under administrative detention to keep terrifying the Palestinians. Israel is making Palestinian prisoners pay the price of its failure in Gaza, and it only acts with a tendency of revenge.
Over the past 2 weeks, rights groups revealed that Israel has also arrested some 4,000 laborers from Gaza who were working in Israel and is now holding them in military bases. Omar Daragmi is not the first Palestinian murdered in Israeli jails. Many Palestinian detainees have been killed in regimes of prisons, either due to medical negligence or torture. This has time and again angered Palestinians who accused the regime of deliberately killing prisoners. Mona Qandi, Occupy Ramallah.
The bloodiest single attack on Gaza since Israel launched a bombing campaign against the besieged Palestinian territory on October 7. Over 500 Palestinians scorched to death in a blink of an eye in the dark of the night during the Israeli air raid on Al-Ahli Arab Hospital. Many more were severely injured. The victims were mainly patients or civilians who had sought refuge at the hospital, hoping the regime would not target such a medical facility. But they were wrong. The incident drew strong condemnations and triggered mass protests across the globe. Various nations and organizations censured the attack in strongest terms, and many called it a war crime and a blatant violation of international humanitarian law. Among those sympathizing with Palestinians were the international students of Tehran University of Medical Sciences. They organized a gathering in solidarity with the oppressed people of Palestine.
I'm here in solidarity with Palestinians and to show the world our message and to show that it's not fair and it's about humanity and it's not about religion or being Arab or being whatever. It's about humanity only, and we stand with people of Palestine. We're here to send our message, and inshallah, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
It's important for, I think, all ages, especially our age, because this is humanity. This is not just a matter of you need to be Arab, you need to be Muslim, you need to be Palestinian. You need to be a human, a decent human, to show support for Palestine.
Participants in this event slammed the attack on Al Ahli Hospital. A statement by the organizers called on the international community to take swift action to put an end to Israeli brutalities against Palestinians. It also called for urgent humanitarian medical aid for Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip. It warned the healthcare system in the territory is strained, and this could lead to a humanitarian catastrophe there.
Several similar events have been held in Iran and across the globe, condemning the recent Israeli onslaught of the civilian population and infrastructure in the Gaza Strip. Protesters say Israel's aggression in Palestinian territories, including the targeting of hospitals and massacring of children, amount to war crimes and are punishable by international law. Mahdi Abbasian, Tehran.
A few kilometers from the occupied territories in southern Lebanon, war looms once more. Hezbollah's resistance has openly begun a new wave of operations, which is growing into a war of attrition, hitting specific Israeli military targets all along the approximately 130-kilometer border.
Behind me stands one of the Israeli posts which have been targeted by resistance groups more than once since the beginning of the war on Gaza. Hezbollah seems to have kept within the rules of engagement while also warning the Israeli regime and the United States that any wrong move could potentially raise the stakes, prompting the resistance group to move to the next level.
People who have remained in the border town say they are bracing for a new confrontation.
We are steadfast. We never thought of taking refuge or leaving, and we are ready for war. We fear nothing.
We call on Sayyidina Nasrallah. If you decide to go to war, we are ready. Just give us a signal. If we lose one martyr, there will be 1,000 more to replace him. Thousands are ready to sacrifice their lives for this country. We are not afraid. We will see victory. And God willing, soon we will be in Gaza.
Israel's shelling of bordering towns is also intensified. Early morning strikes are the usual. Mohammed Barakat looks around his destroyed house. When we asked him if he was looking for something, he said humorously that he's looking for the keys to the house. He tells us had his family been gathering then, there would have been a massacre.
We are with the resistance at times of war and peace, and we will always be with the resistance. This is a very small sacrifice. Sayyidina Nasrallah is very wise, and we trust him. He knows what he is doing.
Our people have gotten used to the barbaric atrocities of the Israelis, and we believe that all this destruction and killing has not stopped the people from continuous resistance and being steadfast in their land. The enemy which targets hospitals does not respect any rules. It is only struggle and strength that can stop them.
The separation wall which Israel has built around the occupied territories has not stopped Hezbollah or other resistance groups like Hamas and Islamic Jihad in Lebanon from launching operations. The current state of tit-for-tat strikes in a limited battle zone could become the new status quo for weeks, if not months. Maryam Saleh, South Lebanon.
A
Both the government of Pakistan and its political leadership are united in their call for the international community to intensify efforts to bring an end to Israel's atrocities in Palestine. Pakistan's Prime Minister Anwarul Haq Khakar told a press conference in Islamabad that his government is working in collaboration with all stakeholders, including regional and international players, for an end to the ongoing violence in Gaza.
Cessation of violence at the moment is
our major goal right now is to stop violence in Palestine. Secondly, we are trying our best to halt the war between Palestine and Israel and are in contact with all major stakeholders, including OIC and Saudi Arabia, who can play their role for an end to the conflict. We are working jointly with them to find an immediate solution to the problem of Palestine.
Meanwhile, Pakistan's mainstream political parties have vehemently condemned Israel's actions and called for the international community to boycott the country in light of the atrocities committed in Palestine. The political leaders further urged Western nations to cease their support and favoritism towards Israel in light of the escalating situation in Gaza.
International community, especially the Western world, has chosen to side with the occupier. And they are pretty sure that they will not only redefine the borders of Palestine, but also redefine what international law is. And they will normalize the use of phosphorus bombs and the use of excessive force and the killing of innocent children, innocent non-combatant civilians. And for the first time in the history of this conflict, I feel that it has picked up so much of traction all around the world.
In Pakistan, rallies against Israel continue to unfold as angry Pakistanis criticize the involvement and stance of the United States in the current crisis in Palestine.
The steadfast position maintained by the Pakistani government and political leadership to boycott Israel internationally highlights the growing concern and sympathy among other nations regarding the plight of Palestinians in Gaza. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Western regimes have provided cover for the Zionist regime's lawless extremism and possible end goal of massive dispossession and ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, the Zionist regime has declared a total war on Gaza, imposing a genocidal siege that has cut off supplies of food, electricity and fuel, making no provision whatsoever to exempt civilians, most of whom have no direct contact with the military activities. Article 55 of Geneva Fourth, sets forth the duty of the Zionist regime as occupying power to ensure that the people living in the territory it occupies have adequate water, food, and medicines. But the Zionist regime's indiscriminate retaliation has included repeated nighttime aerial bombardments of residential areas, alongside the forbidden targeting of hospitals, schools, and UN buildings, where many Palestinians have sought shelter under these extraordinary conditions. A 24-hour evacuation order directed at 1.1 million Palestinians living in northern Gaza, without the provision of reasonable time to arrange such a dangerous departure from long-term places of residence, was aggravated by the lack of a safe and habitable place for Palestinians to go, thus intensifying the dangers facing civilians in Gaza and their suffering. Such a measure amounts to extreme collective punishment, which is prohibited by Article 33 of Geneva 4th. It has less to do with security than with driving Palestinians out of Gaza, thereby implementing the endgame visions of the Zionist regime's extremist coalition government. It is relevant to note that Michael Link, the UN's special rapporteur for Palestine, submitted a detailed report to the agency on why the Zionist regime's authority as occupying power should be terminated, given its failure to comply with applicable international human rights law. This recommendation was ignored by the UN, but the General Assembly was sufficiently distressed by the Zionist regime's pattern of behavior in occupied Palestine that it requested an advisory opinion from the International Court of Justice on the continuing legality of the Zionist regime's status as an occupying power within the framework of Geneva 4th. The case is currently under consideration by the court. If the West continues to endorse the double standards on display during the humanitarian catastrophe unfolding in Gaza, it will serve as a reminder that the post-colonial world retains an ethos of Orientalist racism when it comes to addressing issues of peace and justice in the West Asia region. By failing to advocate for a ceasefire, Western regimes have given a green light to the Zionist regime's agenda of collective punishment, which might itself be grotesque cover for the Zionist regime's end goal of massive dispossession and ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people. According to the website of the New Arab, the Zionist regime has carried out one of its deadliest campaigns on Gaza, dropping over 6,000 bombs on the besieged Palestinian enclave. While the Western regimes have largely backed the Zionist regime, dissenting voices have emerged in London, Washington, and Berlin. Pro-Palestinian protests erupted in many Western cities recently, urging their governments to uphold international law and cease arming the child killer regime of Israel. In some cases, authorities detained or threatened to detain those who participated, with media outlets accusing the protesters of supporting military groups. The U.S. has long been perhaps the Zionist regime's strongest supporter, giving it financial and military aid amounting $158 billion since the Second World War, more than any other nation. Since October 7 attack, Washington has sent top officials financial and military aid to Tel Aviv. It has also sent the biggest warship in the world to the Eastern Mediterranean. The website of the New Arab added U.S. President Joe Biden, who had previously tried to keep a distance from the Zionist regime's far-right government, said in a speech at the White House, "We stand with Israel and we will make sure Israel has what it needs to take care of its citizens, defend itself and respond to this attack." Also, UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak deployed two Royal Navy ships and surveillance aircraft to support the child killer regime of Israel. Downing Street's office reported the military package included P-8 surveillance planes, other surveillance assets, two auxiliary ships, three Merlin helicopters, and a company of Royal Marines. British officials from both the government and opposition have also repeated the Zionist regime claims about Hamas beheading babies without verifying allegations. Like the UK and the US, Germany has also offered the Zionist regime military aid and promised to issue a formal ban on activity by or in support of resistance groups. Scholz added that groups such as Samedun, which was behind the demonstrations, will be banned. Videos of German police using violence against demonstrators in Berlin have circulated on social media.
Tawakkul comes from the root word wakala. Wakala means
today I'd like to read to you an excerpt from
Allah is the unique Arabic name.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed.
His decree though we learn. كل شيء ومليك يا رب كل شيء وسانع يا خالق كل شيء وورث.
Today's tip: what kind of relationships do we have that will have an effect on our ubudiyya, our worship, our service, and our obedience to Allah? So, dear listeners, we are here at your service talking about how there are certain relationships that we have in our lives, and of course these relationships have an effect upon our ubudiyya, our service, our worship, and our obedience to Allah. Now, there are many different ways in speaking about the various different relationships that we have in our life. Now, many times when we think about the word relationship, primarily we think about our spouses. Very rarely do we think about other relations that are involved in our lives. Now, what's interesting is that this is, fortunately or unfortunately, a part of the mass culture or the mass indoctrination that is being done, where the word relationship primarily refers to the relationship between a man and a woman, a relationship between a spouse, and, you know, in most of the Western world and even the non-Western world, let's say in most of the non-Islamic world, this relationship, it doesn't even necessarily have to be based on marriage anymore, and this relationship does not even have to be between a man and a woman. There's various different kind of corruptions and distortions and that have come about in the world where even this word relationship no longer is limited to not only marriage, but it isn't limited to man and woman anymore. But still, this is, as we were saying, the mass indoctrination that is happening on a global level, whereas Islam talks about a whole range of different relationships, whether it is a relationship between other human beings with one another, this interaction with each other, with other human beings, interactions with our parents, our children, our siblings, interactions and relationships with our neighbors, our friends, our relatives, and the list goes on and on. And it's very beautiful how the complete and perfect religion of Islam has come about in order to talk about these various different types and kinds and forms of relationships that a human being has, and to try to make these relationships as pure and blessed as possible, of course, so that we can reach and attain a higher level of ubudiyya.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.ir.
رجائي بالرضا والخير أنير طريقي مع صديقي باحترام الخير.
And now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
If I know that, look, if I make a mistake, I try my best, I get back on the path, God can fix it. I can live, I can experience, I can have that wonderful relationship with Him. We have akhlaq, and then we have practical irfan, where we're actually being mentored by spiritual teachers. One of the things they tell their students, of course, brothers and sisters, our first job is to try our best not to commit sin. But sometimes it happens. After that, what happens? I'm supposed to pick myself up, dust myself off, continue on the trip, continue on the journey. So we have to go over and make sure that we don't let hopelessness slip in, because if shaitan can rob us of hope, we'll never achieve that great future. Question: how much does God love us? Because God knows even good people make mistakes. How much does God love us? How much does God care about us? How happy is He to see that we're trying and we're making effort, especially in the end of times? They come to the Holy Prophet, they talk to the Prophet, they say that, the Prophet says, how much I miss my brothers. They say, your brothers? Aren't we? He says, no, you're my ashab. My brothers, each one of them is worth 50 of you. Who are your brothers? Those people who believe in me, but they've never seen me. They've read about me. You and I, we've never seen. If we were there and we saw Amir al-Mu'mineen at Khaybar, who would we be? If we saw our Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, believe me, you and I, we would be different people. Allah knows that. Our Prophet knows that. The Imam knows that. But let's remind ourselves, how much does God love even people who are making mistakes? This hadith, hadith Qudsi, awha Allah ila Dawood. God spoke to Dawood. Ya Dawood, law ya'lam al-mudbirina anni, kayfa intidari lahum. If those people who are running away from me, sinners, escaping from me, not being good servants, if they knew how intidari, you know the word intidar, how I'm waiting for them. God, for mu'mineen, how I'm waiting for them. Wa rifqi bihim, how gentle I am towards them. Wa shawqi ilayhim, if they knew how much I desire them and how hopeful I was for them. Shawqi ila tarkihim ma'asi, says, lamatu shawqan. If they knew how God felt about them, they would have died out of shawq. They would have been so happy that just knowing that God cares that much, that God loves that much. Just knowing, even for sinners. He says, so if that's the case with people who are running away from me, then how do I feel about those who are trying, who are making effort? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't keep grudges. Some people are like that. They think God's like that. I'll tell you something else, too. Sometimes God's willing to let go, and you and I aren't. God's willing to be forgiving. He's willing to let it slide. God deals with you based on your expectations from God. If your expectation from God is bad, bad. In khayran fa khayran. If it's good, if you expect good, so sometimes God is willing to forgive. He's willing to let it go. It doesn't have to be this way. But the person, they're suspicious of God. They think bad of God. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهُمْ. Oh, my servants who've done israf against themselves, who've done excesses, done terrible sins. He says, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't lose hope in Allah's mercy. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. God forgives all sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that actually He loves those who make tawbah. People make mistakes. God loves it. He mentions this. He loves it. Those who make tawbah, He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. God loves those who turn back to Him. Those who, instead of giving up on God, instead of listening to those people who tell them, you've done too much dirt, instead of giving up on themselves, they still expect good from God. God loves those individuals. He appreciates those individuals. Those people who don't say, it's too late, I can't experience God's goodness. They keep trying. For instance, one hadith is this. And we have to believe these promises, brothers and sisters. Hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith says this. At-ta'ib min adh-dhanb kaman la dhanba lah. The person who makes tawbah from a sin is like the person who has no sin. This is now from the Urafa, when they're explaining to their students and the students of their students. They say that if you've made tawbah, you have to, this is the part, believe Allah's forgiven you. Step outside. Allah's forgiven me for that sin. That sin's over. Allah's forgiven me. Now I can move on. But I have to believe those promises. Not that Allah's still waiting for me. He's going to get me. Allah doesn't keep grudges. Allah says, whoever you are, you're welcome. Come back. I'm waiting for you.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Foresight on IRIB English Radio. So we were very humbly talking about the different kinds of relationships that we have in our lives which have an effect on our ubudiyya. Since time is running out very quickly, we won't be able to cover every single one of these aspects. But for this program, I think we just kind of list the various different relationships we have. And of course, if these relationships are done according to the tenets of Islam and these relationships are kept healthy and they're kept strong and they are kept within the context that they should be kept in, then these relationships help to enhance our ubudiyya. So like we said, unfortunately, in the mass indoctrination, the only relationship now is this kind of carnal, physical, sexual relationship that one individual has with another individual, because it's no longer, as we said, limited to just man and woman, since the satanic powers are doing their best to break all kind of sacred and divine values. So anyways, the relationship is really an interaction between two individuals. It is the connection that two individuals have. So for example, you have a relationship between a child and a father, a child and a mother, or between a father and their child, a mother and their child, or an individual with their siblings, their brothers and sisters, or an individual with their own children, as we already said, or you have a relationship with your friends, then you have a close circle, you have a larger circle. The relationship that you have with your relatives, again, close relatives, far relatives. But then there are, and all of these have an effect, right? When you have a positive relationship with all of these relationships that we just listed, this has an effect on your service and your worship and your obedience to the Almighty Allah. Because Allah has told us how and what kind of an interaction to have with these various kinds of relationships. But of course, there's also the relationship that we have with the Almighty God, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we have the relationship that we have with our own selves. What is the interaction with ourselves? You know, what is the connection with ourselves? And again, lastly, there is this relationship with the environment. And these are four major categories. I'm sure that there's many other kinds that, you know, can be listed, but these are the major ones. And our relationship with each and every single one of these, it makes a difference. It has an effect on our ubudiyah, right? Because, so for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not hit animals upon their face, because this face of the animal is considered something to be sacred to that animal. And so this is humiliating and shameful. So don't hit an animal on their face, right? So if we start to hit an animal on their face, then we are breaking the commands of the Almighty Allah, and thus we are weakening our purity, we are diluting our purity, we're watering down our purity, and of course we're also going to be watering down our ubudiyah. How can we consider ourselves to be in the worship of, or the servitude of, or the obedience of the Almighty Allah, to be in the ubudiyah of the Almighty Allah, when we are breaking the commands of Allah? So we have to be careful of the relationships that we have and how we conduct those relationships in order to increase our ubudiyah to Allah. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at farstoday.ir. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all. احتمي بحما حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير حسبنا الله حسبنا الله حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله حسبنا الله حسبنا الله ونعم
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
the headlines. Day 22 of the Israeli war on Gaza. Tel Aviv continues its relentless bombardment of the besieged strip, which has claimed the lives of over 7,300 Palestinians. The Hamas resistance movement says it is fully prepared to confront Israeli ground invasion into the Gaza Strip. And protests continue around the world in support of Palestine. Demonstrators have condemned Israel for its brutal